This is Steve Lasky, Editorial Director for Southcom Security Media, and welcome to another edition of SecurityInfoWatch.com podcast series. And today we're very happy to have Trevor Matz with us. He's the President and CEO of BriefCam, and we want to discuss some of the new things that the company has going on. They've been a very dynamic force since they've arrived here, and I understand, Trevor, that you've got some new product and some very exciting solutions coming up.
Thank you very much, Stephen. It's a pleasure to be on your show. Yeah, we just released our version 5 of our platform, which is our next generation, really revolutionary in terms of the new feature set. Fundamentally, what BriefCam is doing is making video searchable, quantifiable, and actionable. We do that through three seamlessly integrated modules of our product that allow, first and foremost, the ability to locate an object of interest in seconds, to review hours of video in minutes, to quantify any of the metrics based on any of the data inside that video. How many cars, how many bicycles, how much time did they spend at a traffic light in a retail store, how many men were looking at the women's shoes, how many of the women were actually standing by the handbag area, how many kids were inside there, the number of aircrafts taking off, the number of aircrafts taking off and landing, etc. So a very, very rich business intelligence platform that's able to visualize and extract meaningful insights that are part and parcel of your video itself. And then the third module, which makes it actionable, allows you to get a real-time or near real-time alert on any action or any event that happens inside the scenes. So those three modules of review, research, and respond make video actionable, searchable, and quantifiable. And with our new version 5, that's what we're releasing and showcasing here at the show.
What market sectors are you seeing that are most apropos for this? I know you're very big in the public safety sector, but you know, with some of the issues going on today with shooting and some of the other terror type issues that are facing, you know, all types of market sectors, where do you see the solution fitting?
So historically, over the last 4 years, about 60% of our revenue comes from the law enforcement segment, which is anything from municipal police, state police, safe cities, obviously federal government, many federal government security agencies are our customers, and all the way through to the Pentagon. In fact, over 100 law enforcement agencies in 40 countries have standardized on our technology. But that's only 60% of our business. The other 40% of our business is what we call the enterprise space. And we're very proud to have the number one rated customer in 10 distinct verticals as our customers, whether that's Google in software manufacturing, or Amtrak in transportation, or Harvard in education, or Mass General Hospital in the healthcare space, or Starbucks, for example, in retail. It's a very strong part of our business and a very fast growing business. Campus security and education, obviously, with what's been going on, is an unfortunate area of real focus now for surveillance.
You know, when you see customers coming to you looking for quantifiable information, do most of them have an understanding of what sort of information they're looking for? Or are they just trying, you know, to satisfy some compliance issues?
It's a great question. I mean, clearly the video surveillance market itself, the primary driver is the safety and the security play. So the first thing that customers come to us about is they've got hundreds of hours of video. It's like watching paint dry. How can they get meaningful data? How can they extract it? How can they search it? How can they review it quickly? So that's invariably where it starts. But there are many segments where it actually starts outside of law enforcement, more in the quantifiable area. So I shouldn't give names, but retail organizations are incredibly interested to know what is the impact on the dwell time inside a store, or the path that customers take through a store based on the store layout. Should we put the shoes over here, or the coffee beans over here, or the magazines over here? So when they realize that they have these surveillance cameras that have this data, and that we can transform that data into actionable insights and really trend and graph for them, you know, it's very, very compelling. But I think most of the time, they're not even aware that it was possible to do this. So I think that's the real answer to your question. I think very much part of what we do is evangelical and educational, to explain to people that they can do things that they never dreamt they could do before. And I think that's really the real answer. I don't think they really know, because I don't think they've dreamt that you could solve these kind of issues today with the technology.
You know, big data is certainly certainly the buzzword, and having some sort of quantifiable analytics, no matter what technology you're using, whether it's audio or whatever, how do you see the overall big analytics or the big data analytics picture morphing and integrating with video? What other types of technologies are going to be able to piggyback?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's exactly what's happening. I mean, our space of what we're trying to do with the research module. So, but before I give a direct answer to the previous question, I think it's worth highlighting that the value of quantifiable metrics is directly related or correlated to how granular you can extract data from the video. So our ability to extract over 18 classes, men, women, boys, girls, trucks, pickup trucks, buses, dogs, cats, birds, trains, airplanes, and the attributes of people, do they wearing a hat, or are they wearing a long sleeve, or they wearing a short sleeve, how fast are they going, how big are they, what direction they're moving in, the ability to extract data at that level of granularity makes the impact of quantification much, much more valuable, because it's not just about how many cars went through that intersection, it's how many cars versus pickup trucks versus buses that were red, or a two-wheeler that was, etc. So it's a very different level of that. So I think that starts to drive big data in a much bigger way, because the level of value that you can extract goes way beyond just counting an object, but it becomes true business intelligence analytics. So for example, today everybody knows when you go onto a website, to a retail website, they know how long you've been on the website, which products you touched, how long it took, how much time you spent, and whether you checked out or whether you didn't check out. We make that a reality in brick and mortar retail, because we can watch every person that comes in, where did they go, how much time did they dwell, which products did they interact with, and did that person ever check out? And with the addition also of face recognition technology, which we added in version 5, we can also detect those people at checkout as part of the loyalty program. So this is truly transforming, you know, brick and mortar to the same level of big data analytics that you can have today on the, you know, on the website. So I think the final part to the answer to that question is, to really have a big data play, a lot of this data has to move to a cloud, to a central repository, to be cross-customer. And I think that's the next frontier. I know we're not there yet, because there's obviously lots of security concerns of sharing the data, there's bandwidth issues of putting the data in the cloud. And I think that we have an architecture that will allow us to put just the metadata in the cloud, which is really where the analytics need to take place. So I think with time, you know, with SOC 2 security and with organizations becoming more comfortable that the cloud is a secure platform and that it's multi-tenant and that their tenant is completely protected and that the analytics will never be exposed, I think we will get there. But it's going to take some time, because most of these systems are still on-prem and I think a lot of security concerns.
Trevor, that's fascinating, and I appreciate it. Again, we'd like to thank Trevor Matz, President and CEO for BriefCam, spending some time with us here on the floor at ISC West. Thank you.